Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Hey y'all. Feminist Apparel is an independent feminist clothing company based right here in Philadelphia. You can shop their amazing collection of sex-positive, consent-promoting, and just overall badass t-shirts, sweatshirts, baby onesies, and even more over at feministapparel.com. That's feminist, F-E-M-I-N-I-S-T, apparel, A-P-P-A-R-E-L.com. And since you know me, you can use the promo code SWT, like Sex with Timmery, at checkout and then save 15% off your order. So go check them out. They support us, so you should support them. Are you an artist looking to get your work seen by a larger audience? You should definitely consider Numinous Magazine. It is a submission-based publication, and they accept artists of all mediums. Photography, fashion, illustration, sculpture, tattoo art. You create it, Numinous prints it. And if you are in the fetish community, now is the time to submit your artwork. They have an upcoming fetish issue. Deadline to submit is May 1st, and it'll be released on June 1st. So submit your art to Numinous Mag, NUMINOUSMAG.com, and become a part of the largest growing artistic community. Numinous Magazine, a high fashion and fine art publication. Welcome to Sex with Timmery. This is Dr. Timmery. I am super excited for today's guest. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff, and some of it I know really small amounts about, so I'm going to be learning along with you. I'm really excited to have in the studio Zornica Stoyanova. Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
So we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, but generally we're going to be sticking around like art and... you are a performance artist. Could you describe just a little bit of like who you are, what you do?
That's the hardest question. Okay. Well, I'm a performance artist. I'm originally from Bulgaria, and I've been in Philadelphia for about 10 years now. I create oftentimes interactive performances, and I also create visual art and film and photography. And I guess, in addition, I'm also a writer, dance writer.
So you have an upcoming thing for Philly Tech Week. What are you presenting there?
Well, Philly Tech Week kind of got tagged onto the performance I was already doing because we felt that it was a good match to tie it with Philly Tech Week. Granted that there was so much interaction and so much visual art and so much video, interactive video and live feed video in the performance. So that's how we like decided to delve into the Philly Week, Philly Tech Week.
So what is the existing performance about?
It's mostly about me.
All right.
And it's very unusual in the sense that I have previously created work that's been very abstract. And this is the first time that I've been able to, or have had the interest to use personal narratives connected to me as my experience as a female body, my experience as a mother, my experience as a shapeshifter in this progression of getting pregnant, birthing, and then having to deal with that new identity afterwards.
So what is that like for you? I mean, just speaking frankly now, not even necessarily about the piece, but what is that process like for you?
I'm having a hard time finding the right word for it, because it's talked about so much in so many like fluttery, flowery words of like, oh my God, it's the most mysterious thing on earth, or it's so hard, and it's all of those things, but it's none of those things too. It's almost entirely a completely new identity that's put on you, and you have to deal with it. And you have to deal with it both in your body as like you see yourself and you don't recognize yourself, as well as psychologically.
And do you think that it's more intense for someone whose body is part of their work? Like, because you're in dance and that sort of thing, and your physicality is part of your job, to have that change happen to your vehicle, I feel like is probably a different experience than for someone who, I don't know, works in an office and doesn't necessarily have to use their whole body to do what they do.
The answer is, I don't know. I'm not in anybody else's body, and somebody could not care that they had a C-section or a torn vagina, but I doubt that they don't care about that. I think that everybody has a personal experience with their own bodies, and my piece is I'm hoping that through my piece, I'll bring awareness or bring a conversation forward. I don't think that I have any answers that are true for everyone. Mm-hmm. That's definitely not what I'm, why I'm doing this.
So your own experience of being a mother and being an artist has led you also to start working on a project for mother artists. Could you talk a little bit about what you're doing?
Oh yes. So I am starting a residency for mother artists, or the way I like to say birthing bodies, and I'm creating the residency along with Fidget Space and Masher Space in Fishtown in Philadelphia. And my goal is to just help one mother artist who is in the performance world to be able to continue their work. Simple, very simple. And motherhood is very lonely. Motherhood is very expensive. And motherhood is very almost shone upon in the art world. If you like decide to become a mother, then you're like, oh my God, you sold out. Oh my God, like your art is no longer the most important thing. Or oh my God, you're doing baby work or something. Like your work must be connected to your baby. And it automatically gets this dismissiveness to it. And I actually don't agree with that at all. I think that mother artists actually are way more focused, more capable. And the unique thing about mother artists is also, or just like people that have gone through birth and through that process, is that biologically speaking, our bodies and our minds are the only minds at that time of early motherhood that we are not focused on ourselves. We're not focused on like the idea is king. We're not focused on an egocentric worldview, which most art is. You know, when you really think about art, and when you really think about what sells, it's always about commercial success. Mm-hmm. And commercial success usually has this very point to point, like we're wanting to sell a product. And the reason I want to help a mother artist is because it's not about commercial success. It's not about selling a product. It's not about getting an idea forward. I think it's oftentimes about creating sustainability, creating community, and really talking about how can we make things better in our dailiness, in our lives, and creating work around that, creating performance. And that doesn't mean that the performance or the work of art itself is going to be about community or about having babies or any of those things. It just means that the profit is not the end goal.
So if someone gets involved in the residency, what does that mean? I mean, for someone who's not necessarily familiar with like how that sort of process works in general.
Oh, okay. So it very simple. Whoever there will be an application process, and at this point, this is a pilot project. So at this point, we are only able to help one person. So whoever gets accepted, and this is based on need mostly, and whoever gets accepted will get 40 rehearsal hours and 40. Subsidized childcare hours. So that's the difference. from any other residency out there. Most residencies, almost all of them exclusively, do not provide any possibility for families to come with you or children to come with you. They're very, very solitary. They're very much about being involved in your process, but just by yourself. There's something about egocentric, something really egocentric about that. I think that is not realistic in the way that we live in a community and in society. And that's why, yeah, that's the difference, really, is that there's childcare there provided.
So this is also a matter of gender equality, too, it sounds like to me, because childcare is so disproportionately expected to be the work of women and that sort of thing. So this is certainly like a gender issue as well. I know that you are fairly passionate about gender issues in art. Could you speak a little bit about what the state of that is?
Yes, I can. So I'm going to reference an article that a friend of mine wrote about 2 years ago, and she researched extensively the state of the performing arts here in Philadelphia. But I want to say that that's absolutely true for larger cities. And for the most part, the dance world, we'll speak only about the dance world because that's what I know. For the most part, the dance world is made of 80% females and about 20% males. And we're not even going to talk about the transgender community, which unfortunately in the big presenting organizations that my friend researched, very few even presented transgender artists, like one or two only. So let's say there's 80% females and 20% male makers. Those are all kinds of choreographers or performance makers out there in Philadelphia. On average, between 40 and 80, sometimes between 40 and 80% of the presented choreographers in Philadelphia are men, and the rest are women, which is ridiculous.
So it's certainly disproportionate.
It's absolutely disproportionate, and that's true for the whole dance world everywhere. Anywhere you go, you see a big class of female dancers, regardless if they're three-year-olds or they're professional dancing for Pennsylvania Ballet, for example. And whose work is it? It's not them. It's usually some male choreographer that is like taken from somewhere and presented as the.
So is like, the assumption that there are lots of female choreographers who are being passed over?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yes. Yes.
So it's not that men go into choreography, women go into dance. It's that there's a systematic inequality about who is being showcased.
Absolutely.
And this is something that you can see worldwide. This is applicable to everywhere. Like,
I would say so. I would say yes, definitely. Definitely in ballet, and definitely in the contemporary dance world, for sure.
And is this something that people in the dance world talk about, or is this just one of those things that just happens and nobody's really?
Oh, we talk about it a lot.
Okay, what are those conversations like?
Well, those conversations are really questioning why the male choreographers. What about going back to the male gaze? Why is that important in our society? Why are these people that are just continue to get presented, and others who are doing just as an amazing work, who happen to be female, are not. There's a whole, I personally question what about rigor or aggression, like being aggressive with trying to get a gig. Is that a value system that is attached to a male choreographer? I don't have answers to that. But those are conversations that we're having, and we're trying to figure out why that is. Another thing that's happening, though, is that most audiences for dance are female. So there is a little bit of a an interesting connection there and tension between the female audience maybe wants to see male choreographers and dancers. Maybe that's part of it as well.
That it's the gaze of the female consumer?
I don't know. Maybe to some extent. Or maybe that's what large presenting organizations think.
That's what the consumers want?
Yeah.
Interesting. And I assume this is something that's been going on for a long time. It just seems like one of those kind of things.
Oh yeah, this has been going from since the beginning.
Okay. And maybe that's all it is. Maybe that is the entire reality of the situation, is that it's one of those bastions of sexism that just has thus far not been shaken up.
Oh, absolutely.
So, like the random good old boys club of the ballet. That's interesting. I just hadn't really thought about it. Another thing about gendered performance that I know you've been thinking about and working on is about nudity. And we're not talking about necessarily where it's like sexy time nudity, like pasties and G-string, but nudity in just a more natural state. What is going on there?
So in 2011, I believe, in 2011, I was asked to perform nude for a company. And it was incredibly hard to say yes and to say no. I've seen plenty of nudity in contemporary performance in all kinds of shapes and sizes and colors and ways of presenting the nude body as a costume or as a prop or as something that just happens in between, like changing costumes. And when I was asked to do that, I was very excited to work with the choreographer, and I was very excited to work with the company. There were, I think, six of us performing together. And then became the question, like all the internal questions that are like, oh my God, why am I doing this? I'm dancing nude on stage and I'm getting paid for it. What does that mean as a female body, letting myself be objectified, but not necessarily in a sexual way? And I don't have answers to those questions. I don't have like specific answers to those questions. I have feelings about them. I did the show. The show was called Private Places. It was incredibly hard show to perform and to watch, I heard. Very psychological, very revealing, very tough on the psyche and on the body. And since then, I almost felt like, why even wear clothes? Because for me, performance, at least the performance art that I want to create, is really about connection. It's really about revealing. It's about illuminating. And wearing clothes gives you so much cultural references. It gives you so much things to work with that if you want to strip the body, if you want to really get to the human, if you want to show the human, it almost is like you can't do that with clothes. Anything you wear would be either would have a meaning, either base you in time, would either base you in your gender role, would either base give the audience like an opportunity to make a story depending on how like frilly or the color you're wearing or neutral. So I started really questioning that, and to me it almost became that's my neutral costume, or me, that's me, and I'm performing me. And I'm not trying to hide behind a character, because that's not the kind of performance I create. I don't make characters. So thus, nudity. And it is raw, and it is real, and it's not sexy, and it's not hiding. And I love it, and it's exciting in some way. Every time I do it, there's a catharsis to it, but also it feels incredibly important and incredibly real. Yeah.
It's a really interesting point about it not being sexy, because there's something about, and maybe this is just me, but hearing you talk about nudity that is not sexual in nature, it does somehow feel really more vulnerable. And the ability to like zhuzh it all up and like be like, oh, this is a sexy time kind of nudity, feels like equal parts empowering and also hiding, mm-hmm. because it's playing a facet of yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
As opposed to you as a fully formed human, which is weird for me to say as like a sex person.
Yeah.
Like, but it is still only a, because yeah, I spent a lot of time talking about not all nudity is sexual, because when we want to talk about like the freedom for people to walk around, you know, without tops on, and how breasts aren't inherently sexual mm-hmm. objects. Like, I talk about that all the time. But at the same time, there is this like, yeah, it's like putting on a mask to be like, yeah, titties, you know, because then it's ludicrous, I guess. And,
well, and I mean, you say non-sexual, and I say that a lot, but you can't not have sex in there. It's obvious. Like, you take your clothes off, and I make a point, and I've performed nude before. This is not this is the first time I'm doing it after having a child, though. So yeah. I'm feeling great about it. My body does not look anything like it did before. At least I don't think so. Okay, many thoughts. I'm having many thoughts. So sex is there always. When you take your clothes off, that is the first thing. It's like we're biologically wired to think of that. Anytime you see a nude person, it's like, oh my God, I'm going to go look at all the places that I'm not allowed to look. But then I'm also going to pretend I'm not looking there. So I think I know that, and I allow that time for the audience to look. That's part of it. And I also am very aware that part of it is allowing myself to be objectified in a certain way and working against it. So yes, sexy time. Yes. Then the other thing that I was thinking about was this term that I've been starting to use, and I started using after I had my child, which is the grotesque body, the grotesque female, which is something we in pop culture, in popular culture, we don't see very much. And it's also tied to breastfeeding in public. It's tied to breasts are not inherently a sexual object. Our bodies are quite grotesque. We just try to make them sexy. Like, that's the reality of it. Like, breasts are for feeding. That's what they were made for. And obviously they became a sexual object because they're tied to procreating and having sex. But we don't see it. We don't ever see it in pop culture. We talk about it. And I guess my point is that I'm trying not to be scared of it. And I'm trying to just be like, all right, here it is. Yeah, they're there and they're shaking and they're droopy. And that's that. And yeah, I have pimples on my butt. And yeah, that's that. You know, it's...
Oh, butt pimples.
Yeah.
Ah, my arch nemesis.
Yeah. We love to hate them, and we hate them, and maybe love them.
So the show that you're discussing right now, if people want to check it out, come see it, experience it, etc., where can they find out more?
Well, they can find out more on my website, which is herebegindance.com. Or at the Spaces website, which is Fidget Space. And I don't know what their website is, actually. I think it's thefidget.org.
It's also definitely Googleable.
That's, yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's happening at the end of April, last weekend of April 2016, in Philadelphia, Fishtown.
And then part of that's tied into Tech Week.
That is tied into Tech Week. Okay. Yes, that is part of Philly Tech Week.
That is awesome. What is the tie into tech?
So we got to piggyback a little bit. Since having a kid, before having a child, I was mostly a choreographer and a performer. And since having a child and changing my identity and body entirely because of having a child, I started creating a lot more photography and video work. It was surprising to me. And I started creating more and more and more video work. I would go into rehearsal and I'll be like, oh, I'm working to create a show. I'm not working to create a show. I'm actually making dance on film. And then I started editing it quite heavily. So if you think of dance on camera, it's really not dance on camera. It's more like the body being abstracted in a very in psychedelic ways. So that is the technological part of the performance. I'm using a lot of my videos in it. I'm using live feed, special effects, and mirror imaging. So there's a lot of psychedelic imagery. And the other thing that I do is in my visual artwork, I use a lot of Mylar, which is the thing that emergency blankets are made out of. And using that, I create effects. I create imagery that somehow look incredibly feminine. They are so vaginal. And it's made of this entirely inorganic, shiny material that has nothing to do with humans, that has nothing to do with genitalia, that has nothing to do with imagery. But it creates those associations.
So the name of the show is?
The name of the show is Explicit Female.
Right on. So that'll be end of April. So hopefully everybody's listening to this with time to go to it. You also mentioned earlier that you are a writer. What are you writing?
What am I writing? I found out that I was writing a lot about my experience as a female seeing work. Seeing performance. And I'm writing right now, I'm writing for thinkingdance.net, and I'm mostly writing reviews of performances. But I also discover that I'm always writing it from the perspective, of course, from my own perspective, that somehow always comes from like feminist issues of what the representation of the female body is, how it's represented, how it's talked about, how what it does to the work.
So can we read your stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah? Where do we find your stuff?
Well, you find it on... some of my stuff is on thinkingdance.net. Mm-hmm. Some of my stuff is... I did an article about motherhood and art in, for Curate This Philly recently. I have an article published at culturebot.net. ORG, I believe. It's a New York cultural publication, online publication. And those are, I think, the places cool. to look for my stuff.
Right on. So this has been really fun because this is a facet of, I mean, the amount I know about art is depressingly small. It's embarrassing. So I really have enjoyed this conversation because I learned a lot. It's very cool. So I want to thank you very much, Zornica, for finding time for us and sharing your work. This is super cool. So I hope everybody checks out your stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you for finding time. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And have a fantastic day. Hey, friends and family of Sex with Timmery. We are so grateful to have your listenership. We have the coolest fans in the world. It's pretty much the best. And we hope that the love is mutual. If you are interested in supporting the Sex with Timmery media, either the website, the podcast, head on over to patreon.com/sexwithtimmery and become a supporter. For as little as $1 a month, you can be a regular supporter and continue to bring independent media that provides the kind of information that you want to have out in the world. Over here at Sex with Timmery, we have been doing this stuff for years. As you've noticed, we've got over 200 episodes. The Sex with Timmery website has been up since 2008. We've been giving you the goods for absolutely no cost, and we will continue to do so as long as we can. So thank you so much for your listenership, and we do hope that you will check it out. Patreon.com/sexwithtimmery. Hey, y'all. Feminist Apparel is an independent feminist clothing company based right here in Philadelphia. You can shop their amazing collection of sex positive, consent promoting, and just overall badass t-shirts, sweatshirts, baby onesies, and even more over at feministapparel.com. That's feminist, FEMINIST, apparel, APPAREL.com. And since you know me, you can use the promo code SWT, like Sex with Timmery, at checkout and then save 15% off your order. So go check them out. They support us, so you should support them. Thank
Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Sex with Timory, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimory.com, Sex with Timory on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timory_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.